No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see that the Lord chose Israel from all nations, and she was accountable. Amos gives a series of cause and effect relationships showing that Israel's judgment is inevitable. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in Amos chapter 3 on Simply the Bible.
Nature teaches us that every effect has its cause, and every cause has its effect. God is the original cause, and we are the effect. But the things we do also have an effect. Actions have consequences. Right actions have good consequences, but wrong actions have bad consequences. Self-deception occurs when we think that our wrong actions won't result in bad consequences. This was the state of the northern kingdom of Israel shortly before the Assyrians invaded the land and took the people captive. But God sent Amos to warn them. We continue in Amos chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. And so first, Amos says, hear this word. He was speaking forth the very words of God, but the people did not necessarily want to hear what he had to say, because it was a message of doom and gloom. God said, you only have I known. You are my covenant people. And that was true. God had made his covenant with the children of Israel. They were to be his special treasure above all people. And he chose them. He knew them, not because they were worthy or deserving, but because of his grace. And yet, with that covenant privilege came responsibilities. When God entered the covenant with them at Mount Sinai, they agreed to keep all of his commandments. And God said, okay, now if you don't keep these commandments, then I will punish you. And therefore, because they were his covenant people and they had disobeyed his laws, God had to punish them to be true to his word. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Now Amos gives to them a series of cause and effect relationships, proving that every effect has its cause. Because of these truths, Israel's judgment was inevitable. And there's a great lesson here for all of us. Now, each of these questions demands a no answer. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? No. Two walk together because they have agreed to do so. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? No. A lion roars because he's caught his prey, and now he's roaring over his triumph. Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? No, a bird is caught because someone set the trap. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? Well, this is a yes answer to this question. Yes, they would be afraid because the trumpet has been blown, calling them to action because the enemy is coming into the city. If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Yes, disaster comes on a city because the Lord brings it. Then Amos concludes with this point. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You see, Amos was most likely anticipating that they would not want to hear his words, and when he began to prophesy against them, telling them that judgment was imminent, they would say, well, who do you think you are? Who gave you the authority to say these things? You're just a farmer from Judah. Why should we listen to you? But his point was that God doesn't do anything unless he first reveals it to his prophets. The fact that God called Amos to come to them and speak showed that he was planning to do something and that he would surely bring it about. Therefore, he said, the lion roars and the people fear. God was roaring from Jerusalem, and now they needed to fear. The Lord had spoken, and now Amos was prophesying as a result. Now, there's something for us to glean here, because it is interesting that God does not bring judgment unless he first reveals it through the prophets. And when we look at things happening in the world today, we have about 30% of the Bible dealing with prophecy, and so much of it deals with prophecy that has not yet happened yet. And so we have the word of the prophets made more certain to give us a light as we are in these days of uncertainty. And we need to do our best to study it and to understand what God is telling us through his word. Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria, see great tumults in her midst, and the oppressed within her, for they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. And so now Amos was proclaiming among the Gentiles. He was saying, look, proclaim all of this. Let the Gentiles observe what is happening here in Israel, how God is bringing great tumults and disaster to his people. You see, God cares about his reputation among the nations, and he was holding his people accountable. They weren't going to get away with unrighteousness. And so he would show the other nations, look, I am judging them because of what they have done. They were the example to the nations around them. Now, Amos said they do not know how to do right. They had practiced wickedness so long that the people of Israel no longer knew how to do right. It is frightening to think that a person's conscience can be so seared that they can no longer discern right from wrong. Israel had committed so much violence, stealing, immorality, idolatry, and greed, and oppression, that she was incapable of doing good anymore. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered. God would soon raise up the Assyrians to invade Israel and scatter the people throughout the Assyrian Empire. Then the king of Assyria would settle foreigners in the land, and they would be a mixed breed of people who would not know how to worship the Lord, and so they would begin to amalgamate their own religious practices with the worship of the Lord, and it would create all kinds of problems, but it would create a religion that could not please God. In this manner, the Samaritans were formed, who would become enemies of the Jews even until the time of Jesus. Thus says the Lord, as a shepherd takes from the mouth of a lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out who dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed and on the edge of a couch, hear and testify against the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day I punish Israel for their transgressions, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. I will destroy the winter house along with the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, says the Lord. And so God, really being sovereign over Israel, but really being sovereign over the entire world, he has the right to punish. We did not create ourselves. He created us. We don't make the rules. God makes the rules, and he has the right to be judge, and that's what he was going to do with Israel. Now, he said they would be like a lamb that's taken out of the jaws of a lion, just a couple of legs and an ear. There would only be remnants of their flesh after this terrible Assyrian invasion. The altars of Bethel would be destroyed. This was where King Jeroboam had put the golden calf, and they had worshipped it rather than going to Jerusalem as God had commanded. And even the horns of the altar, where people would grab hold of those horns seeking mercy, even these would be cut off, meaning that there would be no mercy. And finally, the luxurious homes that the kings had resided in, the winter houses, the summer houses, they had just indulged themselves in all kinds of luxury. All of these would be destroyed as well. They thought that nothing could happen to them, but God was going to bring destruction. They thought their covenant privilege with God granted them license to be loose with his commandments. But on the contrary, the fact that they had been given such great privileges meant that they had great responsibility before God. Because they had been recipients of God's grace, they should have loved the Lord in return. And that's the same for us. We have received so much grace through Jesus Christ. The law came with Moses, but grace and truth came with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have received God's grace, should we not also seek to love him and obey his commandments in return? Israel should have feared the Lord and hated the evil they were practicing. They thought the covenant would save them, but in fact, if God were to be true to his covenant, then he had to punish them just as he promised. It is a dangerous thing to live in self-deception. It is dangerous to think that the cause of immorality, greed, and oppression will not end with the effect of God's judgment. God warns us through his word so that we will turn from our evil ways and pursue godliness. And I pray that the people in our nation will wake up and see that our actions do have consequences, and that we would turn to the Lord and keeping the Lord's commandments of loving God and loving others. I pray that we listen before it is too late. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy toward us. Lord, the fact that you would choose us for salvation is just amazing. Lord, we're not deserving of it, but Lord, you have been so gracious and merciful toward us. I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear what you say to us in your word. I pray that we would be kept from the self-deception of thinking that we can not obey your commandments and ignore your word and that nothing will go wrong. Lord, I pray, give us ears to hear what you would speak to us today and give us hearts that are tender before you, Lord, and help us to live according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We are happy to announce that we are building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow, we will return to the book of Proverbs and see that people run wild where there is no prophetic vision. The fear of man is a snare, but whoever trusts God is safe. We hope you'll join us as we continue teaching through God's Word on Simply the Bible.